I'm joined by Khalid Abdallah, who's in the middle of Tahrir Square. You've been protesting all night. What's the latest?
Well, the latest is that I'm following a war, from which we've been subjected to. It's been a psychological and physical warfare. The square is now ours again, fully, and actually more widely than it was yesterday. There's a great feeling of togetherness. I'm much relieved. The main tactic really that they used yesterday was to try and get into the square, which meant that we then had to make sure that all of the entrances to Medina Tahrir, which is of course very big, were secure. And the only way we could do that was by putting as many bodies in there as possible. The main area in which they tried to attack us is the furthest entrance. This is the longest entrance, probably in my estimation about 800, a minimum of 800 metres long. And that's where the major warfare was yesterday, in which, as I'm sure you've heard, people died, and I can verify that because I saw some with my own eyes. I saw a guy with a bullet wound to his head, sad to say, his brain coming out of his forehead. It was the darkest night yet. But one of the things that we were certainly worried about last night was that we were, because we were also under siege, and they were not letting people in or out, and we had reports of people being taken and that kind of thing. So we were worried that people wouldn't be able to get in today. But by the numbers that are here today, it certainly seems like any plans, and also by what the press are saying here in the Arab world, it seems like Mubarak's plan has entirely backfired. For want of a better phrase.
Are you seeing any different tactics from the army today?
Well, we saw different tactics from the army yesterday and last night. I mean, the army today is not is only in a position really to do what it's always done. I mean, what I can say we have seen, and it's been very ambiguous what they've been trying to do, but we have seen generals come into the square. I saw a general come in with a bunch of soldiers around him in the middle of the night, and I heard someone else say that him or someone else came in later. We thought they were going to make an announcement, for example, to tell us to evacuate, but he didn't. They said that they were trying to work out how to secure the square, which of course we were very suspicious of. But the army. I mean, there are definitely signs yesterday of the army having some form of complicity with what the alleged pro-Mubarak supporters, and I use my word carefully, alleged pro-Mubarak supporters, were doing. It was a clearly coordinated, orchestrated act of provocation. You asked me at the beginning what the situation is here. It's returned back to normality, which is to say it's peaceful again.
But there's no sign that the army are intervening to stop the violence.
No, last night there was, but it wasn't really a massive intervention. It seems like they were firing on. I need to kind of explain the geography, but at the far end where I said that the battle was going on, by Abdul Minan Riyadh, the 6th of October Bridge. That was the kind of last outpost, and still remains, I think, the last outpost of the henchmen, Mubarak's henchmen. And we managed to get them to move out, and then a bunch of protesters then decided they wanted to go on the bridge. That seemed to be a step too far for the army, who then decided to shoot. That's when the shooting began, and it was pretty horrific, both the sight and the sound. This issue of psychological warfare, I think, has been absolutely fundamental to what's going on in the last 24 hours, and it's still ongoing. And I'm just seeing someone in front of me now being lifted to an ambulance.
What do you mean by psychological warfare?
Well, Tahrir Square, you're entirely surrounded. Obviously, we were a limited number of people. There were many rumours that were spread that fundamentally we had an area in which we were fighting. As I say, it's 800 metres away from the heart of the square. So what they would do is they would send three or four people, for example, to some of the other entrances, which would then, of course, make some of our people then have to go there and have to go other places. We didn't know what kind of force they were prepared to use and what they were not prepared to use. They've tried to exhaust us, and of course, the feeling that we had is that, at the point of our utmost exhaustion would be the point at which they tried to break in. I mean, they were using tear gas last night. They were shooting at us. As I say, we had reports of, we have friends who tried to get out to bring in medical and food supplies who were stopped by henchmen, and indeed that's still going on today. Some people are finding it difficult to get into the square, but nonetheless, the numbers here are impressive.
I don't know if you heard that the Prime Minister has apologised for the violence and has promised an inquiry. What do you make of that?
I mean, we're in the death throes of a violent regime, and that's what it's proved itself to be yesterday. I mean, there's another minister. who said that he is absolutely certain that the henchmen being used belong to a minister in the present cabinet called Fatih Sour. What the Egyptian public has learned, because there were a number who were, of course, swayed by Barak's last speech, what the Egyptian people have learned is that, that word means absolutely nothing. I mean, the state television, which of course is controlled by his government, is giving reports of the fact that the people in the square are all people who are in the pay of the Americans and the Israelis and the British, that we've all apparently gone to all of these places to receive specialized training. I mean, it's a complete and utter joke. The propaganda that they're releasing is absolutely ridiculous. What they're trying to do is they're trying to keep on side, and that's another exactly why he will have made that statement. They're trying to keep on side the people that they had very momentarily and lost. They were bargaining on the idea that we protesters are trying to provoke a split in the country. And that was indeed the whole thrust of the provocation last night, provocation yesterday, and indeed last night. We're proving that not to be the case, and step by step, they're more and more being proved to be entirely not worthy of any trust.
How do you see it playing out?
Pardon?
What do you think is going to happen next?
I think what's going to happen next is that we're going to win at some point. I mean, if you're talking about today, I mean, I think we're going to have more numbers here tonight than we had yesterday.
How many have you got there now?
It's impossible to tell. I mean, it really is. I mean, because you can't even see the whole square in one go. I mean, there's not even a viewpoint in which a camera can see the whole thing. Because it's, as I say, it's like we've had to go in. I mean, for example, towards Austin Neil Bridge, we've taken about 400 metres of a very wide road all the way up to Austin Neil Bridge. On the other side, towards the 6th of October Bridge, we've done about 800 metres. On some of the other streets, we've done that. I mean, it's like the square, in my opinion, has doubled, if not trebled, in size. And, I mean, it feels like, when you're in the centre of the square, it feels like there are as many people as there were on a good day. Not, of course, on the Million March Day, but on a good day. So I don't know what I have no idea what that translates to, but it's tens and tens and tens of thousands, if not over 100 or 200,000. I mean, it's impossible to tell the numbers.
Sorry, I interrupted you. What were you about to say about what's going to happen next?
I think we're going to win. I think he's lost credibility. He's lost credibility in front of his country. He's lost credibility in front of the world. And thankfully, finally, the governments of the world are calling for him to step down. It took a while, and that's sad for us. Nonetheless, that has happened. But I mean, in the immediate future, the real issue is going to be what happens tonight if we get this tonight. I think we're going to have more people here than we had last night. We certainly need them, and that's why we know that they're going to be here. I don't think they can try and pull off what they tried to pull off yesterday, because first of all, we've understood their tactics. But I mean, the thing is, it's one of two things, and in both cases, the result is the same. Either they come in and commit a massacre, which is what they were close to doing yesterday, or he goes, and in both cases, he's gone. So in both cases, as far as I'm concerned, we've won. I mean, these people are not moving. I cannot tell you how difficult it is to control a place of this size. And we're a group of unorganized people from all walks of life and all religions and all ages. And we've managed to, you know, the strength of our convictions for a desire for political reform, social justice, and political freedoms is what has made us hold together.
Okay, Khaled, thanks very much. Thanks a lot.
Bye.